and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, entitled Meeting DO-178 Objectives for Source Code. My name is John McHale, Editorial Director of Military Embedded Systems Magazine and the moderator for today's event. Today's speakers are Bill Potter, Technical Marketing Manager for Aerospace Certification Applications at the MathWorks, and Jay Abraham, Technical Marketing Manager for the Polyspace Code Verification Products at the MathWorks. The event sponsor is the MathWorks. This eCast will consume about 35-40 minutes, leaving the remaining time for the question and answer session. Before we get going, though, I want to point out some important buttons on your screen. First, please take note of the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you will be able to view the slides in full screen mode. Also note that the speakers will be presenting technology demonstrations during the eCast. Once those demos start, for the best viewing, hit this Enlarge Slides button. Second important button is the Forward to a Friend button, which enables you to send an email of the request for this event. And lastly, you'll find on your console window a button that enables you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address these questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question intended for a specific speaker, please note so at the beginning of your submitted question. Otherwise, I'll hand out the questions equally to our speakers. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the eCast. Also note that as much as we would like to, we may not get to all of your questions today. In that case, some will make it back to you after the eCast with more information. This eCast will be posted online today, and an audio podcast will be available as well. We also have a short survey after the Q&A portion of the eCast we'd love for you to participate in. Now I'm pleased to introduce our first speaker, Bill Potter of the MathWorks. Bill, take it away.
Thank you, John. Again, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Bill Potter with the MathWorks in Technical Marketing. Today we're going to be talking about achieving DO-178 objectives for source code. The agenda that we have for you is we'll be introducing you to both DO-178B and the newly released DO-178C. We'll be talking about development and verification of high integrity software, also presenting tool workflows for DO-178 certification, including some demonstrations of those tools. We'll then have a wrap-up, and then we'll take your questions. So to get started here, introducing DO-178B and C, DO-178, the title of this document is Software Considerations in Airborne Systems and Equipment Certification. It addresses the software engineering aspects of certification, such as software lifecycle, the objectives that have to be satisfied, and also provide you with the evidence that you're required to keep and maintain to be able to prove that you went through the process and did everything correctly. It covers software used on microprocessors and digital signal processors. It does not include the systems aspects that's covered in another document, ARP 4754A, or hardware aspects, for example, for HDL, FPGAs, and ASICs, that's covered under DO-254. But today we're going to be concentrating on DO-178 software. A DO-178C is a newly released revision to DO-178B, and basically it has minor updates and clarifications to the previous standard 178B, but we have a few new things that have come out with DO-178C, which makes it much more of a major release. There's actually been four new documents added as what is known as supplements to DO-178C and DO-278A. Those documents are DO-330, which deals with software tool qualification, DO-331, which refers to model-based development and verification, DO-332, covering object-oriented and related technologies, and then DO-333, addressing formal methods. And today, we're going to be specifically talking about aspects of DO-331, model-based development, and also DO-333, formal methods. So let's get started with an example. So typically, for embedded software for an engine controller, you would start with a complex algorithm The algorithm shown here is actually represented in a Simulink model. Then from that Simulink model, you can use Embedded Coder, a product from MathWorks, to actually generate source code. Then you can compile that code and put it on your embedded controller. And then once you've done that, you can actually control, for example, an aircraft engine or the aircraft itself or some other system on the aircraft. Now, what are the components of embedded software? I mentioned in the previous slide you can use an automatic code generator, but typically in the real structure of software, some of that may be automatically generated code for the model, and it's typically mixed with some handwritten code. For example, for your real-time operating system or for your hardware device drivers, those may be written in hand code, so it'll be a mixture. And today we're going to talk about verifying both of those types of code. Some of the issues you have with certification specific to the DO-178 standard, you need to show traceability to low-level requirements as well as compliance to those requirements. You also need to confirm that your code is robust, that it doesn't have any unexpected behaviors or unanticipated errors in it. A verification of embedded software can be a time-consuming, very complex task. And there are some consequences if you don't have, for example, adequate testing. For example, runtime errors could get through, get into your production code. There's a real example of this that happened several years ago. There was an Ariane 5 rocket that basically after liftoff had to be destroyed because there was an overflow error in the software, and it was a case where something wasn't fully tested. That particular condition wasn't tested. Some of the other challenges in developing and verifying high-integrity software, it's very difficult to do exhaustive testing. And in fact, in meeting compliance to DO-178, it doesn't expect you to do exhaustive testing, but there are some criteria such as structural coverage analysis that tell you how thoroughly you should test it, but that doesn't mean it's completely exhaustive. So what we're going to be presenting to you today are ways to use tools to facilitate the certification process, to streamline the workflow, and also to ensure that you're producing high-quality code. So the first tool that I'm going to speak about is called the Simulink Code Inspector. The purpose of this tool is to automate DO-178 code reviews. Now, this tool works in conjunction with Simulink, our modeling tool from the MathWorks, as well as Embedded Coder, our automatic code generation tool that generates the code from the models. The Simulink Code Inspector is an independent tool that verifies the generated code against the model. And in doing that, it demonstrates that the source code structurally and functionally matches the model, also that it's traceable to the model. And the objectives of this tool are to eliminate or reduce manual code reviews while still maintaining compliance with DO-178. Just a little overview of how the Simulink Code Inspector works. It brings in as input the Simulink model and produces what we call a model IR. IR stands for intermediate representation. And that intermediate representation is in the form of an abstract syntax tree. It also brings in the source code that was generated from Embedded Coder, parses it into an abstract syntax tree, and then those two trees are further refined into a format that is normalized such that the syntax of the two trees is identical. Then the tool goes through and for each node in the syntax tree verifies that that node is correct and that all the nodes are in that are in the code should be there, that everything in the model that should have code has code. And in the end, it gives you two reports, a code inspection report, which tells you, does the code functionally match the model, yes or no? And it indicates either passed or failed for all the lines of code and for all the blocks in the model. And we also provide a traceability report. The traceability report ensures that everything in the model that should have code has lines of code that traces to it, and conversely, all the lines of code that are there trace back to some functionality in the model, as expected. At this point, we're going to present you with a demo of the Simulink Code Inspector. This demo is going to be approximately 13 minutes in length, and I just want to add that at this point, to get a better view of the demo, you may want to select the full screen mode, and that will help you to view the demo.
Well, thank you, Bill. So this is Jay Abraham. I'm the second speaker for this presentation, and I'll take you through a couple of slides and a demo of the use of formal methods for DO-178 certification. So as Bill mentioned earlier, DO-178C specially recognizes formal methods, and formal methods can actually be used to help with robustness testing and robustness verification of software. Let me begin by explaining what formal methods is, just giving you a very quick overview of it. Essentially, it involves the use of mathematical techniques for the specification and development and verification of software. Now, it is a proof-based methodology because you can actually prove certain attributes or properties of your software. What's unique about formal methods is that the results from formal methods is sound, meaning that you've got mathematical backing to support the claims that you are making. Some of the example techniques that use formal methods are model checking, where you can exhaustively search for all states in a program, for example. Abstract interpretation, which is the semantic analysis of programs, where you can formally prove that the software is safe from runtime errors. What's very powerful about formal methods and its application for verification is that you can make some very powerful statements about software programs, especially software that is used in safety-critical environments such as avionics. For example, if your software is running on an embedded target that does not have a floating point unit and your algorithm calls for the addition operation, you can actually prove with formal methods that the addition operation will not overflow. If you're using arrays for data storage, you can actually make sure that the indexing of the arrays for both reads and writes are always within the bounds of the array and that you're not writing to some random location in memory. Same applies for pointer dereferences, so any type of pointer-based manipulation, you can formally prove that it's done in a safe manner. And then finally, when you have algorithms that involve mathematical operations, divides, multiplies, and so forth, square roots and whatnot, you can once again prove that the mathematical operations that you are performing are safe, that you will not divide by zero, for example. So here's a subset of some of the things you can do with formal methods. Obviously, there's a lot more, but here's just a quick example of some of the things you can do. So to kind of ground us in reality, let's take a look at some source code and look at the source code and try and get an idea of where this particular piece of code could fail. So essentially, I've got about 25 lines written in the C language. And if you think of being in a code review and you're asked to review this piece of code to make sure that it's safe and robust, where are some of the places you'd be looking for in terms of potentially identifying runtime errors and other defects? So here are the various places where this simple piece of software could fail. So there are several locations where variables may not be initialized. There's also places where there's an overflow potential because of addition, multiplication, and other operations. There's also a divide by zero potential that could potentially happen on line 22. So in a code review process, these are some of the things you're going to be looking for. And again, how do you ensure that these defects that we've identified will or will not happen? And if they do happen, how do we know under what conditions they could potentially happen? So to assist with that, we have tools. And one of these tools that the MathWorks offers is called Polyspace, and it can help in the certification of DO-178C software. It is a static code analysis tool, meaning that it performs its verification tasks statically, meaning you do not have to compile your code, you do not have to generate test cases. But what's very unique about this tool is that it uses formal methods. So it couples formal methods with static code analysis in order to perform the verification. So it can detect, and most importantly, it can also prove the absence of certain runtime errors in your source code. And it can also very precisely determine and propagate variable ranges in your source code as well. It uses a rather simple to follow, easy to use color coding scheme. So it identifies every place in your source code that you could potentially suffer from a runtime error. And then what it does is it colors them using four colors. Green to indicate that the source code is safe, meaning that it will not fail. red to identify places where there may be a runtime error, and then gray to identify dead code, and then orange to identify places where the code may fail under some conditions. So the dead code is interesting because, especially for standards such as DO178, it's important that you do not have any dead code or unreachable code in your software. This tool can be used in DO178 workflows, and to support that, it also includes rule checking or code standards checking for standards such as MISRA and JSF++. It can also generate artifacts that can be used in the certification process, and a qualification kit is also available so that you can qualify it for DO178. It supports C, C++, and Ada languages, so this could be software that's handwritten in these languages. And we also, it's also very tightly integrated with the MathWorks embedded coder product so that you can also check generated code or a mix of both handwritten code and generated code. So with that, I'd like to show you a quick, about a 5 to 6 minute demonstration of this particular product. So let's go ahead and move to that.
Thanks, Jay, for the great demo. This is Bill. I'm back on, and I'm going to provide a few wrap-up slides here before we move on to the questions and answers. So I'd like to show here the DO-178 objectives that you can get by using combination of Simulink Code Inspector and Polyspace. And you can see here from table A5, out of the first six objectives in that table, that you're able to give mostly full credits, either using Simulink Code Inspector to show compliance and traceability to the model, but also using Polyspace, for example, helping you detect any dead code, checking the rules for you, the MISRA rules, against the generated code. And for the final one, the accuracy and consistency of the source code, most of the objectives there are satisfied by a combination of Code Inspector or Polyspace, for example, detecting the runtime errors, being able to check for uninitialized variables, issues like that. There are a few items in that last objective that do require other tools. For example, you need to evaluate stack size or worst-case execution time. Some of those things you have to actually do on the object code and during testing, for example, for worst-case execution time. I'd also like to present just an overall flow of the model-based design workflow that we recommend for DO-178, both B and C as well. This follows the workflow of requirements, which would be your high-level requirements, to models, which would represent your low-level requirements, to source code, to object code. Today, in this webinar, we basically concentrated on that model to source code verification step. We do have other tools, though, that help address the other aspects of verification between requirements and models, or between requirements and the executable, models and the executable. You will also see here one of the things that we didn't present with respect to Polyspace is Polyspace can actually alleviate some of the object code testing. In particular, some of the robustness aspects can be reduced for Polyspace. That's not to say you can totally eliminate testing, but some aspects of robustness you can as well. Some of the key takeaways. You can automate the code review process with a qualifiable tool, the Simulink Code Inspector, as well as Polyspace. You can reduce the number of robustness test cases you need using formal methods. Again, this is one of the aspects of Polyspace, by being able to detect things, for example, like prove that you can't have overflows. That can eliminate some of your out-of-bounds test cases, for example. And you can take credit for that, in particular with DO-178C, but we've even had customers take that credit with DO-178B and claim this as an alternative method under the old specification. So this can reduce your verification effort on your source code and also your testing effort with nearly full credit for table A5 in DO-178. So if you want to learn more about this and some of our other tools, you can go to our website. You can view demos there. You can request a trial. In particular, you can look at Simulink Code Inspector and Polyspace products on our website. And at this point, I'm going to hand it back over to John, and he'll do the final wrap-up, and then we'll move on with the questions and answers.
Thank you, gentlemen. Excellent job, excellent presentations. Now we're going to go to our Q&A section. I already have some questions in from the audience. I would encourage you to ask our experts to submit your questions now. First question I have is, are the tools you showed qualifiable for DO-178C? Bill?
That question, John. This is Bill. Yes, these tools can be... they have been qualified, at least Polyspace has been qualified under DO-178B already. We do have qualification kits available for Polyspace, Simulink Code Inspector, as well as some of our other verification tools for verification of the model.
Okay. Another question. You said that Polyspace is a formal methods tool, and now that DL178C recognizes formal methods, can you get certification credit for using Polyspace?
Jay?
Actually, I'd like to defer that to Bill.
Okay. Again, yes, you can. And I'd say one of the main differences now between DL178B, which called formal methods and alternative method, and DL178C is that now in DL178C, it's very clear in the formal method supplement not only what credit you can take, but what things you have to do to take that credit. Just as an example, one of the items they call out in the formal method supplement is that you need to show that your formal method is sound. And we do that as part of our qualification kit. We actually have a technical foundation document which describes the formal method that we use, which is abstract interpretation, and explains why that is a sound method.
Okay. Thank you. Take another question from the audience. We have an embedded Linux product. The certification surround the whole software, including Linux, or can we get our software part for DL178 certification? And does certification is it just coding, or is it more than this, like a document of various stages of software development process?
This is Bill. I'll take that one, John. If you were using Linux in your system, and in fact under DO278, for example, for ground-based applications, a lot of people are using Linux, that software does fall under certification, just like an RTOS, a real-time operating system. All the code has to be certified, including any libraries that you might use from a compiler. So it does include all the software. And also, to answer your question, is it just coding? No, it's not. As I showed in that one of the final slides showing the whole MBD process, you have to have requirements, you have to have design, you have to have source code, you have to have object code, you have to do verification on all those items, and you have to have traceability between all those items, as well as between your test cases and procedures, for example, and your requirements. So yes, the entire process is much more complex than just coding. However, today at this webinar, that was all we were able to address in this amount of time.
Thanks, Bill. I have a question for Jay. What programming languages does Polyspace support?
So we support the C, C++, and also the Ada languages. And again, a note on that is the code that we support, it could be handwritten, it could be generated. We do have very good integration with tools like Embedded Coder. So if you're using Embedded Coder to generate your code, you can use Polyspace in the verification process as well to generate those artifacts that might be needed for certification.
Okay. I would encourage the audience to keep those questions coming in. We still have about 10 minutes or so. We can answer questions. Next question I have is, this one might have been answered already, but we'll give them some airtime. Qualifiable tools versus qualified tool, or will your tools be qualified for DO178?
So let me answer this question, John. At MathWorks, under the existing regulations, we cannot qualify the tools ourselves. The tools have to be qualified for each particular project that they're used on. Now, typically what happens is that when a company qualifies the tools on one project, they can then reuse that data on future projects where they use the same process. Now, what we provide for the customer is what we call a DO qualification kit, which provides all the artifacts, the tool requirements, the tool qual plan, the test cases and procedures that your company can use to qualify the tools. So, for example, one of the requirements would be that you have to run the test on the tools in the installed environment that you have. And, of course, at MathWorks, we probably don't have exactly the same tool environment you do. So we provide you all the test cases, procedures. You can run those, check the operation of the tools, and then submit that data as the artifacts to get it qualified for your particular project.
Thank you, Bill. I have an application kind of question. There's been, as you might have heard in the press lately, the FAA talked about approving the use of the flight of UAVs in civilian airspace. That probably creates more software coding to meet compliance with DL 178B and C in the future. If for even small UAVs as well, I mean, is this going to affect the hobby base at all? Or
I have some insight into that. So far, it's been for large UAVs, and there's a certain size and weight above that level. If you're flying in U.S. airspace, you will have to get certified for a UAV. This includes military, for example, that are flying in U.S. airspace. And the concern there is about potential collision with airliners, for example, or crashing into a house and injuring or killing people on the ground. There is a new notice of proposed rulemaking that was supposed to come out late last year. My understanding, it's still been delayed into this year, maybe by the end of the first quarter, that's going to address small UAVs, which could impact, for example, model aviation, which I happen to be a member of that community and do that myself, so I'm a little bit concerned about that. But I've also heard that there's maybe some legislation that might exempt model aviation from that. It's not clear yet. We'll have to wait and see when the FAA gets their proposed new rules out, and hopefully that'll be soon.
We think the certification for model UAVs can cost more than the model UAV itself.
It might. Yes, it might.
Okay. I've got a question here for Jay. Is the qualification kit included in a polyspace license, or is it separate?
So that is available as a separate product. So you can buy the polyspace products and Code Inspector and the other products individually, and then there is a separate qualification kit that you could purchase and use to qualify the tools for the certification of your software.
Yeah, and I might just add something to that, Jay. So the DO qualification kit is one product, and it would cover all of our tools that can be qualified. So it covers polyspace and the Code Inspector, as well as some of our other tools like Model Advisor, Model Coverage, System Test, the Report Generator. All those are included in that one qualification kit.
Right, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, gentlemen. Another question here for Jay. Does PolySpace detect all types of runtime errors?
So the tool is really geared towards critical embedded software. For the most part, the type of errors that could cause some sort of a failure, we support. So overflows, underflows, divide by zeros, pointer issues, arithmetic type issues where, for example, you're trying to take the square root of a negative number, array indexing issues and so forth. When it comes to dynamic memory, that's not something we support, but typically we find that in safety critical embedded software, you probably don't want to be using dynamic memory because that introduces risk in itself. In general, for the most part, we detect a wide variety of runtime errors that you'd be most concerned about.
Thank you. A question that's kind of another current events question, coming from what's been announced the last couple of days regarding the budget announcements, the President's proposed budget for next fiscal year in terms of defense. Everybody knows the big cuts are coming. Is that going to really affect certification, or is there going to be, like, cut the more push towards unmanned systems? Is for what you guys do, for those who design software code for avionics, how's the future looking there? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I guess I'll provide my thoughts on that. I don't see that really having an effect. Obviously, you know, the FAA has to certify systems, although there's been some movement lately to put more of the certification responsibility on the actual the OEMs, the people making the planes or the people making the equipment. So the FAA does delegate some of that, and I would imagine that, you know, if there are budget cuts and there aren't as many people in the FAA, then potentially they would rely more on industry to do that. But they have had that system in place for many, many years. We have what they call DERs, designated engineering reps, who do some of that work anyway. The most important thing would be that if they do that delegation, that they don't affect safety and those people have to show some independence and, you know, that they really have to be reputable people and things like that. So,
Question here for Jay on Polyspace. How is it that the MathWorks is involved in building tools like Polyspace?
So, you know, MathWorks is very much into the, I guess, the mathematics with tools like MATLAB and Simulink. And, you know, given the very math-focused capability of Polyspace, the use of formal mathematics to prove that the code is safe, you know, makes it a natural fit for the tool in terms of, you know, our investment in it. So I guess that's from a pretty high level. But from a practical standpoint, when you look at, you know, the design, simulation, and development of software, embedded software that's being used in these safety-critical applications, it's a very good fit. You know, MathWorks has tools for modeling, for simulation, for code generation, for verification of models, and now we've got tools that help you also verify the code that goes into these embedded systems. So it's a good fit overall.
Thank you, sir. And that brings us right up to our time today. I'd like to thank Bill Potter and Jay Abraham for speaking today and the MathWorks for sponsoring the event. This eCast will be posted online today, and note that an audio-only podcast will also be available. Once again, please take a moment to participate in our short survey before you log off. Thank you all for attending and look forward to seeing you on future webcasts with OpenSystems. Goodbye.